you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I'm again reading at verse number 9. He says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'd like to preach just a little while, if God be my help, on this thought, the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Spirit on the Lord's day. Have you ever thought about what it'd be like when the Spirit of God takes us up into glory? Have you ever thought about what it'd be like when we leave this old life and this old body behind? When we leave this old vessel clay, praise God, somewhere, and we go on to be with the Lord. Can you imagine what that's going to be like when the Spirit of God has His right of way once and for all in our lives? Amen. They won't be no me or you, but praise God, it'll be all about Him then. But I can see this in my mind's eye as we look at this, and John begins to write to us here, and he begins to tell us about his life. He begins to tell us just a little bit about who he is and why he's where he's at. Amen. He said, it's me. He said, it's just old John. He said, I'm stuck here on the Isle of Patmos. He said, it's just me. He said, ain't nobody special. He said, I'm just one of you. He said, I, John, who also am your brother. He said, I'm just a brother in Christ. He said, one that loves the Lord and one that's looking, desiring His soon appearing. He said, I'm just a brother, just like you, just like you's here tonight. But John says, I'm nobody special except in the eyes of God. He said, I'm somebody in the eyes of my Savior. He said, I'm somebody in the eyes of my Father. He said, I'm somebody. Somebody, praise God, that God's called upon, that God's helped, and God's a minister to. He's given me that I need to help to be a help to my heart. And praise God, He's brought me this far, and I'll not turn back now. Glory be to God. He said, He's there on the Isle of Patmos. He said, just a brother like you. He said, I'm here because of the tribulation I went through. I went through tribulations. I went through trials. I went through hardship. I went through a lot of things, but to God be the glory. Amen. Things I've had to endure in the flesh, praise God, it not be nothing compared to the glory I'll behold. Amen. Can you just imagine old John there on the Isle of Patmos? He said, I'm a companion in tribulation. He said, I went through things just like you have. He said, there's a lot of things in my life, praise God, I've had to endure. He said, a lot of temptations, a lot of distresses, a lot of conflicts. He said, but praise God. He said, I just endured them as a good soldier of the cross. Amen. It's a tribulation, a companion in tribulation. I mean, ain't it amazing? Have you ever stopped to think about how many saints of God had to go through a lot of things? You don't just get saved and say, Lord, forgive my sins, come to my heart, and everything just becomes rosy. It don't work that way, because we in this old sinful world, I want to say, this place that we live, it's still under the curse. Amen. That curse has not been lifted, and it won't be lifted, praise God, till Jesus comes back. Amen. So we're all still living in it. We're companions in tribulation. These things that we'll have to go through, these things that we have to endure, these things that we have to work through. Amen. With the help of the Lord. But the Bible tells us plainly that God said He'd never forsake us. He'd always be a present help in the time of troubles. But he said, I was a companion in tribulation. He said, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, hey, I just stayed in there in the good fight of faith. He said, I began to look one day and I began to see a man. Now, let me just share just a little bit with you now. Old John says, hey, listen, so I was over there, and me and my brother, we was a fisherman. So we was down there by the Sea of Galilee, and we was fishermen by trade. And said, one day this man come along, walking along. Amen. It wasn't nothing to spectacular look upon. See, he looked a whole lot just like me or you. Amen. But he come a walking along one day, and as they was just a glow about him, something, amen, you couldn't put your finger on. And then he began to call me in. And he said, hey, if you'll come and follow me, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. And I could just see old John as he was intrigued. He said, hey, listen, there was something peculiar about this man, Jesus. So said me and my brother, we hooked up and began to follow him.
So left Ed alone on the boats with the servants and said, we went to follow Jesus. And said, we followed him a little while, and we could see there was something different about this man Jesus. The way he walked and the way he talked. Praise God, he did not walk and talk like any other man. He was peculiar in his actions. He was peculiar in his ways. It was like he had a connection with a higher power. Amen. He was something, he was just something that was spiritual about him. And said, we begin to imagine, begin to just wonder how much of a connection he had. And then one day we was down there by the seashore, and we got a call. They said, well, the master said, you and the disciples had been called to a wedding ceremony up in Canaan. Said, they've asked you to come up to Canaan, said, for a wedding ceremony. Said, your mother sent word that you probably need to come up. And said, we got together, and we began to mosey up that way. And said, we got up there to Canaan of Galilee. And said, there was a marriage set, and a man and woman come before the authorities. And said, holy matrimony. And said, Jesus was there. And they come to him, and they said, Master, we have no wine. And so I thought, well, what do we, can you just imagine? Old John, he said, hey, listen, I want to see what this man Jesus is going to do. What can this fella do that me and you couldn't do? And he told him, he said, hey, you should get some pots and you fill them full of what? Fill them to the brim. And said, so they did that. And said, in a little while at the end of the ceremony, said that they was needing the wine. They run out. And said, he said, hey, I just offered up. And said, hey, I took that wine. They took that out of that barrel, that water, and they offered it up there. Praise God. And said, hey, it was the best wine that ever come out of Galilee. Amen. He took that. He done a miracle there in Galilee. He took that old water, praise God, that water alive. Praise God, and made it a living water. Amen. Amen. John said, I'd never believed it if I hadn't seen it. But I seen it with my own eyes. He said, then I seen old Nicodemus. One day that priest, that old man of God. And we was down there in the cool of the evening. We'd go up there, we'd sit on the top of the house where it's cool. One evening, that priest, he come down there, Nicodemus, come down to the Lord by night. And I heard him talking to him, and he said, hey, I perceive that there's something special about you, that you must come from God. You know things that most men don't know. You act different and peculiar from any man I ever seen. And said, Jesus spoke to him, and he said, Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. He said, you got to be born of the water and of the word, praise God. He said, there's got to be a change in you. Amen. I seen that man Jesus. I began to tell that old man of God. He said, hey, you ought to know these things, being a ruler of the people. He said, but there's something about him. Praise God. Hey, something about him. Hey, something about him. Praise God. It began to manifest himself to that old man of God. And that old man of God went away a different person. He said, you must be born again. Now he turned water into wine. He said, you got to be born again. He said, you got to have a birth from above. Amen. And then we went on one day, and I said, he told us, fellas, said this journey, said we must needs go through Samaria. Amen. He said, we got to go through Samaria. He said, Lord, you know it. The Jewish people said, we're not welcome there. There's nothing there for us. He said, we must needs go through Samaria. Said, we went up there, and we went down there to Jacob's well. And said, we stopped there to rest a minute. And we told the Lord, said, well, why don't you just rest here? Said, Lil, go get us some bread. And said, while we was awaiting, while he's waiting there, we went off to get bread. And said, we come back, praise God. And they was having a hallelujah, a jubilee there around the well. People were coming. And they was magnifying and glorifying. Said, hey, this is the man. This is the one. This is the, hey. There's a little old gal come running into town who had been in all kinds of iniquity and fornication and wickedness in all her life and adultery. But praise God, she come running into town with a witness. Said, hey, this is the man we've been looking for. Amen. Praise God. I just looked upon him. I said, hey, listen, fellas, we need to give him something to eat. And he said, I have meat that you know not of. He said, I've been feasting from the Father's table. Amen. He said, I've been eating from that man on high. Amen. He said, hey, I got to see that man Jesus. I got to see the power that he had to touch an old winter, a wicked Gentile people. Man, I got to see him move in the hearts and the minds of common folk. Amen. He said, I got to see. his walk and his talk and his relationships. I got to see him when he had him with his old friend, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And we talked with them, we communed with them, we had fellowship with them. We praised God together, we broke bread together. And they got the call one day. And they said, "Master, you need to come." Said, "Lazarus is sick. Your buddy's sick, you need to come." He said, "We didn't." Said he was about the father's business, and we tarried there for a few days. And then he said, "Hey," he said, "we got to go up. We got to go up." He said, "Hey, listen." He said, "Lazarus sleepeth." And we said, "Lord, what if he sleeps? It'll do him good." Amen. It'll make him well again. He said, "No." He said, "You don't understand." He said, "Lazarus is dead." Amen. But he said, "I've got to go up." He said, he's my friend. Amen. He said, "He's my friend. I got to go up." He said, he went up. And my said, "Master, if you'd only been here. If you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died." He said, "Oh," I said, "he'll live again." She said, "Oh, I know he'll live again in the day of the resurrection." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Yes, sir. Amen. "He would believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Amen. He said, where have you laid him? He said, "Oh, come and see." And they took him down there, and as we gathered around, they showed him that tomb where Lazarus lay. Seen that rock rolled in place and sealed off. And said he wept. He said he saw the broken hearts and he began to weep. And he said, "Take away the stone." He said, "Father, you don't understand. He's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh." He said, "Just take away the stone." Amen. And they took away that stone. They rolled it out of the way. And said, he kept his hands and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Amen. And said, it's like it was a quake. It was a stirring. And all of a sudden, no Lazarus. Said, "I seen him or I wouldn't have believed it. Hey, Lazarus, he come out of that tomb. Amen, bound hand and foot. Amen, glory be to God in those glad clothes. He come out." And he said, Jesus said, "Hey, fellas, what are you standing there looking at him for? That's your brother Lazarus. Loose him and set him free." Amen. He said, "I got to see it with my own eyes. I seen him bring the dead to life." Amen. And then I got to see him as he became sin for the world. I got to see Jesus as they took him, and they took him by night, and they beat him, and they abused him. I seen the whole thing. Amen. He said, I got to see him abuse and beat the one who had laid my head upon his breast, the one who had got to hear the heartbeat of God. He said, "I got to see him. I got to see him abusing him. I got to see him questioning him and trying to catch him up." But said he wouldn't be caught up. Amen. Because he was absolute truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. They couldn't get nothing on him. So they went to Pilate and they said, "Hey," he said, "why don't you just go ahead and crucify him?" He said, "Why? What has he done?" Pilate washed his hands. He said, "I find no fault in him. Find no fault in him." But then when he had beaten him, he said, they took him out. He said, "You do what you will." He said, "Let his blood be on your hands." He said, "Let him be on our..." And the multitude cried. And they said, let it be on our hands and on our children. God help. He said, "I heard it with my ears." And he said, and they carried him off. Made him carry that cross up a hill called Calvary. To the place of the skull. And they took my Lord, my Savior, Jesus. They took the one that I loved, the one that cared for us. To the top of old Golgotha. Laid that wooden cross down there, and he laid down there on that cross. They never had to bind him. They never had to beat him. I imagine. I said, "What? What's taking? Look, get up. You can, all you gotta do is summon the angels. Talk to God." He never said a word. So he just laid down, laid his life down, and they drove him on rusty spike nails into his hands and his feet. He said, I watched it. I watched him as they done it. And they raised him up and they dropped that stake down in that hole. Boom. And I seen it jar every bone in his body. And he hung there on that cross. Amen. He said, I seen it with my own eyes. I seen Jesus, praise God, hanging on the cross of Calvary. Taking upon himself the sins of the whole world. Amen. He said, I seen it. I testify to it. Amen. I seen it with my own eyes. And from that cross, he looked out over us. And his mother Mary, the other Mary, she was there. And he said to his mother, he said, Mary, behold thy son. And he said to me, he said, son, he said, behold thy mother. Yeah. Amen. And I thought, oh Lord, I'm not worthy to take her into my household, the mother of my Savior. And be hanging there between the heavens and the earth, the sin of the whole world upon him. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he gave up the ghost. Amen. He died right there on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for me and for you. He said, I seen it. He said, I seen them old soldiers come along and they break the legs of the two thieves. And when they come to Jesus, he was dead already. He gave up his life. He gave up the ghost. So he didn't break his neck, but no soldier took his spear and he shoved it into his side. And forthwith came out water and blood. Amen. He said, I seen it with my own eyes. They pierced him. They pierced him. And then he said, I got word that the next day that Joseph of Arimathea had begged for the body of Jesus. And so they came and they take it down and they wind it up in grave clothes and they put it in a bar tomb. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He had to borrow a place to be buried. And they buried him in a bar tomb. But something magnificent happened. We was grieving. We was mourning. Oh, Lord, our Savior, the Messiah, he's gone. But then Martha comes. She said, hey, fellas. Said, you ain't going to believe this. On that third morning, she come running and she said, hey, he's got up.
Praise the Lord.
I said, what? What are you saying? He's got up. Jesus got up. He's not in the tomb. He's got up. And so me and Peter, we take off running towards the tomb. It can't be. No man has ever got up from the dead on his own power. We go run into the tomb and I run to the tomb and I look in and I see those bedclothes lie. Man, and I stop and I'm peered in and Peter runs by and he runs in and he's mumbling in unbelief. Our Messiah. What have they done with our Savior? As I look, I see those bedclothes lying. I see that napkin. He said, I see that napkin laying over there folded together in its place by itself. That napkin had been over his face. And I say, Peter. Peter's hysterical. I say, Peter, he says, what? He says, look at the napkin. It's folded in its place. You know what that means, Peter? It means he's coming back. That he's not finished. He's coming back. Amen. And we run out of praising and magnifying God. Amen. Because he's promised he's coming back. That same Jesus. The one we love. He said, I seen it. He said, I have a testimony. I need to tell somebody what I've seen. I need to tell somebody about what I've heard. I need to tell somebody what I've experienced. Said something magnificent, something spectacular has happened. And I've got to tell it wherever I go. He said, I've got something down inside me, praise God. It's a pill, praise God, that the world don't have. It's the gospel. And praise God, I've got to tell it wherever I go. Said, John was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. He was there because he had a story to tell, and he didn't care to tell it. He said, oh, there's so many magnificent stories, so I couldn't even begin to expound upon them. So many things that Jesus did. Hey, listen, we've only got a drop in the bucket of what he did.
Right.
Amen. We don't have every detail to everything that he did, everything that he spoke. We just got what the Holy Ghost says, things that we need to know. Amen. We don't have the whole scenario. We don't have the whole picture. We don't have everything that we need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything we'd like to know, we got everything we need to know. Amen. We got everything that we need to know about Jesus, about the man that he was, the Christ of Calvary. John says, hey, listen, said, I've got a testimony. I've got a gospel to preach. I got to tell it wherever I go. He said, hey, listen. He said, somebody, there's got to be somebody that wants to hear. Man, the Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. And he began to see some magnificent things. John began to see the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God began to speak to him and show him the things of present and the things to come, past, present, and the future. He began to give that to John. And John says, hey, listen. In John chapter 21, he said, hey, listen. He said, if this whole world, if everything that Jesus done, if it was written down, if it was pinned down in a book, he said, the world couldn't contain it. Amen. He said, if we pin down everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus was, he said, the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. Amen. He said, the world wouldn't hold all there is to know about Jesus. Just imagine what it's going to be like. The Bible said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He had a connection. Amen. He knew what the heartbeat of God was. Can you imagine? He knew how to get hooked up. The Bible said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he began to see things. Magnificent things, praise God, that was too big for him to even tell. Amen. He began to see things that he had never seen before. He began to see the past. He began to see the present. And he begins to see the future. And he said, hey, there's a lot of things that's happening in the future. But praise God, in Revelation chapter 4, he said, I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day, and said, hey, it was a trumpet sounded. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and said, all of a sudden I was in the presence of God. Amen. He said, I got to see my Savior. I got to see him high and lifted up. He said, John, he was on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. He said he was on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and Gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. He was there because of what he had seen and what he was doing. He said, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said he was there because he knew the Word, and he had a testimony. I wonder how many of us could be locked up for having a testimony. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I've got a testimony. I know, Lord Jesus Christ, I know. I've seen what John said because I've seen it through the Spirit of God. Been in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. God, I've been hooked up, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, this is real. It's not make-believe. It's not a fairy tale. He said, praise God, it's real. Just as real as Jesus is. Just as real as everything he done is. Just as real as he is. Just as real as the Father is. Just as real as the Holy Ghost is. He said, it's real. He said, then I got to peek into glory. He said, it's real too. Amen. He said, I got to see into heaven and the portals of glory. And he said, they were real. He said, he that sat upon that throne. He said, man, said, that was a spectacular sight. That was something to behold. He said, it was like a sard of stone. He said, it was just, he said, I can't even explain how magnificent it was just to see God. Amen. He said, there was something that was taking place. He said, I was on that island. For a reason and a purpose, because he said it was about the Word of God and the testimony of Christ. He said, they thought they was doing me harm by shutting me up there all by myself. They thought they was mistreating me, treating me bad by putting me there by myself. But little did they know that they was putting me in a place, getting me in a situation where God could give me a revelation, where God could speak to me like He had never spoken before. You see, as we talked about in the beginning, He said, I'm just a companion in tribulation. He said, I've been through the same things you have. He said, I've been put in some strange predicaments, some discouraging situations. But He said, when it all washed out, I realized by the help of God that I was right where God wanted me to be. I was right where God would have me to be, so He could begin to reveal to me and through me all the precious oracles of God, so that I could see them for myself, so that I could have a personal experience with God. We don't understand tonight why we go through things and why things happen the way that they do. But sometimes I wonder if we just stop and stand still and just imagine what God's trying to show us. Imagine what God's trying to reveal to me and you. If we could ever be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day to recognize and realize the vision that God has for us. Amen. What the vision God has for you. And for you. And for you. Well, what God wants to show us if we was in the Spirit on Lord's Day. Amen. If we was looking, desiring something. I wonder what God could show us. I wonder what God could give us. But He said John was on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there for a purpose. Not by accident. And God began to manifest Himself to him. God began to reveal things to John that the world didn't know nothing about. Amen. A lot of people say, well, you know, the book of Revelation, you know, preacher, we just need to stay away from that. That's not for now. It is too. Amen. He said it's a blessing to man that would read and understand the book of Revelation. Because it's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's revealing. I mean, it's taking the cloak off. The cover off and letting us see Jesus. Past, present, and the future. John said, hey, you know what happened on me? He said, I was there because they was thought they was being mean to me. You may be in a situation and you think you're there because somebody's being mean to you. But you know what? You may be there because God's wanting to reveal something to you. God's wanting to show you a side of yourself that you didn't even know you had. God's wanting to reveal to you a blessing. An image, something that'll help you in the journey ahead. This journey of life. We're all in this journey together. John said, we're companions in these tribulations. He said, we're brother. He said, we're in this together. But he said, if we can look and see what Jesus done for other folk along the way, amen. He moved in situations. Had a wedding, thought it was going to be a disaster. They done run out of wine. Who runs out of wine at the wedding? I mean, all winos got to have wine, though. But Jesus come along, He met the need. Amen. Had a man of God who thought he had it cooked up. But Jesus come along, He said, hey, you know, you got to get hooked up this way and not this way. Amen. He said, you got to get it hooked up vertically. And then you can get hooked up horizontally. You know, if we ever want to fix things up in this world with people, we got to fix things up with God. We got to get things right between us, and then we can go horizontally. He told Nicodemus, he said, you got to get it from above, buddy. You got to get that help from above. He said, then you can begin to get it down here and pass it out. Amen. Mary and Martha thought, well, we've lost our brother. Oh, woe is me. Pitiful situation. But Jesus shows up and he said, you know what? He said, there's life after death.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, there's life after death if you just believe in me. He said, well, how can it happen? We're in a grieving situation here. He said, I can take care of that. Amen. He said, I'm the giver of life. And I give it in abundance. Amen. He said, I have it to pass out. Who does he give it? To whosoever will. Amen. He said, I give it out in liberal fashion. Jesus went on that cross of Calvary when the world was in turmoil. Do you realize how wicked and stuff Rome and the times were at the time of Jesus Christ? I'm talking about a time that right after Jesus' death that Nero would take human beings and he would, Christians, people that, because they loved the Lord, and he'd tie them on top of a stick, coat them with tar, and set them on fire to light his chariot races so he could race at night. That's a wicked time that it was. But Jesus coming, he hung upon a cross, praise God, to forgive that sin. To forgive men like Nero and give them an opportunity to be saved. See, John got to see this. He got to see the kind of man that Jesus was. And he got to see him buried, and he got to see the hope of a resurrection. And he got to see the hope of another day. Amen. John got to see this. You see, a lot of people say, well, John, poor pitiful John. They say he was boiled in oil and all these other things. Amen. But they took him and they put him on the Isle of Patmos, and the king said, hey, you know what we'll do? We'll get him over there and we'll get rid of him once and for all. We'll put him over there where they don't nobody even be able to hear him. Where nobody will ever know nothing about him again. He'll be history. Boy, he said that right. Amen. So he'll be history. And he began to pen her down. So thus says the Word of God, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, John was over there just like me and you. A lot of times we think, well, you know, I'm pitiful. You know, I have all these things that I have to deal with. But praise God, it's just maybe it's one of those instances that God's moved in your life and showed you something about you. John said, hey, praise the Lord. I got over and I realized that there's a Savior that loves me. There's a God of glory that cares about me. And I may be on this island. I may be by myself. But he said, I'm never alone. Amen. Somebody is here with me. Somebody, and that somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here with me where I am. Amen.